course, in first Sunday of the month is communion. And also the first Sunday of the month is our missions offering. So at the end of the service, we're going to receive a special offering for missions. And we're going to pray over our missions. I want to thank you for your support of missions. This church is reaching out to China, to India, into North Korea. We're reaching out in Mexico. We're reaching out in Africa. A lot of different places. And I say we because you are the ones that are doing it. You are praying. You are giving. And of course, because of your faithfulness in giving and praying, we're reaching out. And I'd encourage you, out in the hallway, we have a display booth, or not a booth, but a display case out there where you can go by and you can see the newsletters and different things, the updates about the missionaries that you are supporting. And you know, Jesus said that we were to what? Take this gospel to all the nations. Isn't that right? Well, you know, God didn't call all of us to pull up stakes and go to India or China or Africa. But you know what? We can all be a part of it, can't we? We can give and we can pray. And I want to thank you for doing that. And I'm going to give you another opportunity at the end of the service again today as it's Mission Sunday. But here in Psalm 23, I want us to read. We're going to look in Psalm 23 for a little while this morning. Then we're going to partake of the Lord's table. Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Hallelujah. You know, communion's all about covenant. It's all about covenant. And I really like to refer to it as the covenant meal. It's a covenant meal. That's really what it's about. And that covenant that we're in is, first and foremost, we're in covenant with God, aren't we? When you put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you've entered into something called a covenant. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're born again. But all of that is a part of the covenant. And as a part of that covenant, we found this out in this verse, is that what? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Boy, isn't that good to know? I'm glad to know I'm not by myself in all this. I'm not by myself when the crisis of life comes, and it will come. If it hasn't come yet, it will. When the crisis of life comes, I'm so glad to know. That's what we're reminded of. When we look at this covenant meal, when we partake of it, we're reminded of this. I'm not by myself. I have a shepherd. Jesus said in John 10, he said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd. And I'm so glad this morning, and I want to remind you that you have a shepherd. If you belong to Jesus, he is your shepherd. And he said he's the good shepherd. He doesn't beat the sheep. He doesn't starve the sheep. He's not going to mistreat you, abuse you. He is a good shepherd. And he said here, when you have a shepherd, he said, you can know this, you don't have to want. I don't care what it is. Just like this morning when we had you come up and agree in prayer. You know what? The reason we do that is because we want to reemphasize to you the covenant and the fact that God is a good God. Amen. He's a good God. And he cares about you and he wants to meet every need of your life. And so he is the good shepherd. And I want to encourage you, whatever you're facing, whatever you need, you go back and you remind yourself that because I'm in covenant with God, he is my shepherd and I shall not want. I like to kind of change it like this a little bit. I put it this way. He is my shepherd and I do not want. I do not want for peace. I do not want for forgiveness. I do not want for joy. I do not want for healing. I do not want for encouragement or strength. Whatever it is, I can go to him. You know, just like our little skit on the announcement there, 24/7. Hallelujah. Amen. Long before 7-Eleven thought about it, God was doing it. He said, "I'm open for business 24/7. You know? And we need to remind one another that, you know, the covenant's not only with God, but it's with one another. He is the good shepherd. But you know what? Kind of like the guy said, he said, sometimes, you know, he said, "I need a Jesus with skin on him." That's right. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. It's right. Isn't that true? Thank God we can go to God at any time in prayer. But, you know, there are times when we just need Jesus with some skin on him. And, you know, the Bible says that Christ lives in you and I. If we're believers, he lives in us, doesn't he? Amen. You know how close God is to you? Just turn and look at your neighbor. That's how close God is. If the scriptures are right, isn't that true? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to go way off up into heaven to get to God. You just need to find a brother and sister in the Lord. You mean God's in them? I know it seems strange, doesn't it? Man, sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, boy, God's living in that. Lordy. God, you are amazing. Isn't God amazing? I would have never done it the way God did it. But thank God. I'm not God and He is, and He did it the way He did. And so God's in you. So here's the thing. Not only is the covenant with God, I can come to God. But listen, the covenant's with one another. And you know, we need to understand we need each other. We do. You know, as pitiful as you may think I am, you need me. Hey, come on. Hey, listen, we have to let go of pride to say that, don't we? Because especially, like I said, in our culture, the American culture especially, we're so independent. You know, we were taught that, I don't need nobody. You know, I told you the funny story about my mom and her sister. We were growing up, and we used to get a ride with my aunt a lot because we didn't own a car. And mom would try to give her $5 for gas. Now, you can tell how old this story is. You say, a gallon of gas? No, that was back when it was 30 cents a gallon. Some of you young folks, that just went right over your head, didn't it? 30 cents a gallon. I only remember it because Dwayne told me about it. No, I'm just kidding. Pass the buck, church, right? I'm just kidding. But, you know, but she tried to give her that $5. My aunt to throw it back. No, I ain't going to take it. Yeah, you're going to take it. No, I ain't going to take it. And they'd go for 5 minutes, giving that five and giving it back, giving that five and giving it back. And, you know, a lot of times that's the way we are. We just, it's hard for us to receive because we were taught we don't need anybody. But listen, the truth of the matter is we do. You do. As wonderful as you are, as smart as you are, as handsome and beautiful as you are, you still need somebody. We need one another. We're in covenant relationship. Listen, Jesus thought it was so important, He went to the cross. Boy, that ought to tell us how important it is that we need somebody. And not just Him. We need one another. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want... Listen, sometimes the reason we're in need is because our pride keeps us from going to somebody who could help meet that need. Right. Might be the need of encouragement. It might be the need of just somebody agreeing in prayer for God to meet a need. It could be any kind of need. But a lot of times it's not because we're not going to God. God's saying, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, that need's going to be met. We're going to have to deal with some of that pride in your life. Why don't you go over here? And you know where He's going to send you, don't you? Yeah. To the very person that would be the last person that you would ever admit to them you would need them. Oh, Lord. Oh, no, Lord. Lord, I know You're not telling me to go ask them to pray with me. I know You're not leading me to call them. I know that can't be You, Lord. Get behind me, devil. But here's the thing. God wants to teach us about covenant. Yes. Amen. Covenant. This table, it's covenant. Not just with God, yes, but with one another. Amen. And we've got to learn that or we will never be as strong as we could be. Amen. As a church and as an individual. Because yep. I'm stronger. We know the principle. You know the principle. God said one can put 1,000. Two can put what? 10,000. Well, what can all of us do together? Whatever it is, it's greater than what you could do by yourself. You know, in the natural, they have a word called synergism. You know, and that means that all of us working together can produce more than all of us working individually. And then you added up that. There is a dynamic that God created. Something happens when we all come together in relying interdependence on one another. That's what this table represents. We're in covenant. And I want to listen. And listen. And I want you to understand, don't take this the wrong way. But I want you to understand this in God, in the kingdom of God, in the perfection of God. There is no such thing as divorce. Thank you. Now, if you've been divorced, I'm not picking on you. But I'm talking about in the kingdom. But here's the thing. As soon as I say, I don't need you, you know what I've done? I've served a writ of divorce. I don't need you. Bless God. Besides, I don't like the way you wear your hair. You said something hurt my feelings. That's it. That's it. It's over. That's it. Come on.
Come on.
Boy, it's awful quiet in here. You was all happy a minute ago. Listen, we have got to. The reason I'm saying this is we've got to take this as serious as God does. You know, in the church, a lot of times we just, you know, we look at the kingdom of God and church. We look at it like a buffet. You know, over there where Paul said, buffet your body. Oh, that was buffet your body. But, you know, if you've ever been to a buffet, you know, they've got all this food laid out there and you can go by and you can take what you like and you and if you don't like it, you ain't got to take it. That's the way we do church a lot of times. Oh, I like this. No, I don't like that one. I like her. No, I don't like that one. I like this. No, I don't like that about the church. I like this, but I don't like that. So we go through the buffet line. And we take what we like, and then we refuse what we don't. Well, let me ask you, what did Jesus die for? Just what you like? Did he die for just what you like? The people who are just like you? Who do it, always do it just the way you would do it? See, covenant. Covenant. We're in covenant together. Not only with the Lord, but with one another. And here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, whether you like me or not, you're in covenant with me. You say, but what if I don't want to be? Well, you're going to have to talk to the Lord about that, I reckon. Amen. Because as long as he says I'm in, I'm in. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? As long as you're in, you're in. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Listen, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. Covenant is about what? God working in our lives. It's about there being a restoration. There's about there being a renewal that takes place in our life. Every time we partake of this covenant meal is an opportunity for God to do something fresh and new in our life. It's an opportunity for God to remind us who He is. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the one who leads us. He is the one who guides us. He is the one, you know, He's going to feed us. He's going to take care of you. Listen, I don't care who you are this morning. You may be a single mom here. You may be facing, a situation that is beyond, I mean, bless God. Of course, this ain't saying much nowadays, but all the people in Washington couldn't solve it. Shazam, huh? And I'm not railing against them, but here's the thing. Whatever you're facing, listen, God says, here's the thing. He said, I'm going to be your source. He said, I'm going to lead you to a good place. I'm going to lead you where there's going to be a green pasture. He said, I've got good things in store for your life. I want what's good for you. Notice Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. How many of you know the difference between what's good and what's bad? Boy, I do. If you don't see me after service, I'll help you. Isn't that right? You know, you don't have to get all deep and spiritual. Oh, I don't know if that's really good. No, listen. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen good. Isn't that right? Look at Jesus. You want to know what's good? Look at Jesus. Jesus went about, it says he went about doing good. Why? Because he was good. He is good. And what does he want to do in your life? Good things. Good things. That's what he's saying. He's going to lead me into what? He didn't say he's going to lead you into burnt over, dried up pastures. He said he's going to lead you into green pastures. What does that mean? There's going to be sustenance there. There's going to be food for your soul, for your life, for your inner being. He's going to take care of you. He said he's going to lead you beside still waters. You know God's got a fountain to drink from? Amen. Oh boy, you drink from those waters. Jesus said you'll never thirst again. Isn't that what he said? He said that water, he said it's eternal. It's the river of life. It's eternal life. That river, that fountain, he said it's springing up. And he said, you drink from it. And he said, you'll never thirst again. You know, there are a lot of people, who, even in the body of Christ, who are still thirsty. Yeah. By that, I mean, what I mean by that, this kind of thirst, there's a good kind of thirst, and then there's the wrong kind of thirst. Now, I'm talking about the wrong kind of thirst right now. That is, he said, you'll never thirst again. What does he mean? He mean, in other words, it's going to satisfy you. In other words, you're going to have purpose in life. You're going to feel like, okay, you're not going to feel like, okay, there's something missing here. Something's missing in my life. Well, listen, your thirst hasn't been satisfied yet. Because once you drink from the well of Jesus, the well of water that He offers of eternal life, then that, you know what? You have peace. You are settled. There is an inner contentment that comes upon you and within you that says, you know what? It is well with my soul. Praise God. Doesn't matter what I'm facing. Doesn't matter what life is dealing out to me. But I know this. I know everything is okay. Everything is going to be okay. Amen. He restores my soul. How many of you know sometimes your soul gets all up in an uproar? Yeah. Your soul ever get in an uproar? Yeah. Oh, man. You're going along, life's good, and all of a sudden stuff happens. Yeah. You know, isn't that right? Man, stuff happens at work. Not at your job, I know, but stuff happens at work, doesn't it? Maybe somebody hurts you, somebody does something, things happen. Maybe life all of a sudden deals you a crushing blow. You know, your head's where your feet was a few minutes ago. Life comes at you. Or just the trials of life, the tests of life come at you. You're thinking about how I'm going to deal with this. How am I going to do that? You ever lay down at night and your mind just does not want to shut down? Has anybody ever been there? Oh, man. You can get your body still, but that... He said, He is the God that what restores our soul. What's He going to restore? He's going to restore us back to what? To faith in God. He's going to restore us back to peace in God. He's going to restore our mind back so what? Our mind is and our thoughts are dwelling on Him. He's going to remind us, listen, son, you're not in it alone. Daughter, you're not in it alone. I'm in it with you. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to put you over. You know why? We've got a covenant. Covenant with the living God. And you know, especially here in our culture, we don't know a whole lot about covenants. But a covenant, when God made a covenant with us, and covenants that were made in times past, and in other cultures especially, a covenant is a binding thing. It's more powerful than a legal contract. It is. A covenant is more powerful than a legal. The reason we got into legal contracts is because we got away in our culture from having any understanding of a covenant. But a covenant is binding. That means what? When we partake of this meal, we're remembering this. God has bound Himself to you and I. He says over there in Hebrews, He said, because there was none greater, I have sworn by myself, says God. He swore by Himself. He said, I am committed to you. I'm committed to you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never fail you. He is committed to you. You say, but you don't know. I messed up. It doesn't matter. God didn't say, I'm committed to you till you mess up. God, if that was the case, it wouldn't have lasted long, would it? One or two of you, it would maybe. But you know, no, He said, I'm committed to you. That's what covenant is about. And every time when we remember covenant, when we partake of this covenant meal, what does it do? It's an opportunity for what? Us to come back into center. Come back into the very center of what's important. You know? Yeah, I know paying your mortgage and your rent's important and paying your bills and that has its place. But I'm going to tell you, when life is all over, when everything is said and done, what is truly important? That's where God wants to keep bringing us back to so that we center up on our faith in God. We center up on the eternal. And because I'm telling you what, my mind, I don't know, maybe yours is different, but I've never laid down and my mind's never fretted over whether or not God was faithful. Amen. That never kept me up at night. It's all this stuff out here talking to you, isn't it? You know, the bills are talking to you, or your checkbook's talking to you, or, you know, what the latest economist said to you. You know, if you listen to enough experts long enough, you know what will happen to you? You'll be thoroughly confused. Have you ever? You turn on and you're listening to CNN, what their economist is saying, and they're saying one thing. Then you turn over to MSNBC, and their economist is saying another thing. Then you go over to this one, and they're saying nothing. Pretty soon, you're like, does anybody know what they're talking about? Isn't that true? And so here's the thing. In covenant, we remember what's important. God is important. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Listen, God's guiding you. I know, man, I've been there. Sometimes you ever felt like, boy, I'm telling you what, I stepped out and there wasn't anything there. You ever felt that? You're feeling around like that cartoon, you know, you're feeling around with their foot and they realize, uh-oh, I went too far. But here's the thing. God is guiding you. God is guiding. What does covenant say? God says, I'm guiding you. Yes, but God, it sure doesn't. I'm guiding you. But God, it don't feel. I'm guiding you. But God, I don't know what to do. I'm guiding you. That's what covenant says. That's what covenant says. And the time I really need to know and believe that is when I feel like it the least. Isn't it true? Boy, when everything's telling me, boy, I'll tell you one thing, buddy, you missed it this time. I'll tell you one thing. I'm telling you, maybe, you know, God might have handled a few of those things, but boy, this one's going to get you. This is going to be the one. I remember covenant. He's guiding me. He's leading me in paths. What? Right paths. Good paths. Paths that's going to bring honor and glory to Him. Paths that's going to bring blessing to me. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Boy, that's the ultimate, isn't it? What is the, probably if you could take a poll of all humanity, what is the biggest fear everybody has in common? Death. Isn't that true? Man, you don't even like to talk about it. Oh, Pastor, you're going to bring up that negative word. Well, I got news for you. Unless Jesus returns, you're going to see it. And listen, there's nothing, as far as human life comes, I'm speaking naturally, human life goes, that's the ultimate, isn't it? Because as far as we know, there's only one person who's ever been there and come back to tell us about it. His name's Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
And He says, I got you back, Royce.
Yes.
Isn't that right? If we say it in natural vernacular, He'd say, I got you back. He said, it doesn't matter even if I go through the valley. He said, even in death, God's there. Bless God. Man, I'm telling you what, that's sticking tight, isn't it? That's sticking close. He said, even as you approach death, even as you go into death, even as you go through death, He said, that can't separate you from me. He said, I'm there. I'm with you. Well, bless God. If God's there in the ultimate and that can't hold Him back, then bless God, I'm telling you what, He can pay your car payment. He can put food on your table. He can bring sense out of all the nonsense that's going on in your life. Amen. He can straighten out the crooked things in your life. He can bring healing. He can bring peace. He can do that. Why? Covenant. He's committed all the way up to and through and including death. He's committed to you and I. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to get happy here. He says, listen, I will fear no evil. You know, have you ever experienced this? The old enemy come at you and he begins to put something I call dread on you. You ever, you know, I mean, you know, it's more than just worry. It's a step beyond that. It's like, You're dreading, yeah, something impending. It's going to happen. And, you know, it's always something bad, isn't it? Oh, you get ready. Oh, yeah. If any company's going under, it's going to be yours. Yeah, they're going to lay, I hear rumor, they're laying off people. You're going to be one of them. Come on. Oh, I heard, boy, the stock market's doing gas. I know, boy, I know one thing. Your stocks ain't going to be worthless. He always brings something on, some kind of, you know, I mean, you know that sickness that, you know, so-and-so had in your family. It's going to come on you. And notice what he says. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? Covenant. He said, don't fear evil. In Psalm 91, he said, it's not going to come near you. He said it won't come near your dwelling place because God's given what? His angels charge concerning you. Why? Because of covenant.
Amen.
We're in covenant. The blood and the body of Jesus, we're in covenant. And it's binding. God's bound himself to you. Say, what if I mess up? Well, the Bible says if you mess up, confess it.
Yes.
Tell God about it. He said he's just and faithful. He's going to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then pick yourself up and go. Somebody says, what if I fall down? Well, get up. Isn't that right? Kind of hard to move forward laying down, isn't it? You're not the only one that's ever fell down. Amen. And I'm telling you what, as long as you remember to get up, you're going to be all right. Why? Because he's bound to you in covenant. He said, your rod and staff comfort me. Now here, listen. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table. What's the table? The covenant table. Amen. Can't be the marriage supper of the Lamb. I ain't going to have any enemies up there.
Amen.
He said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Remember when in the Passover meal that Jesus had when he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, Lord's table. Remember that he took the covenant meal and in right there at the very table where he was breaking and instituting this covenant, guess who was sitting there too?
Judas.
The devil. Because he was in Judas. That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
I mean, right there, the first covenant meal broken, it was in the presence of his enemies.
Yep.
And here's the thing, we can remember this, when we partake of the Lord's table in just a few minutes. Listen, your enemy may be all around you. In Psalm 3, David said this. He said, many are those who come against me. He said, though the armies surround me. Well, let's just turn over there. You're close by. Turn to Psalm 3. Let's read this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. In Psalm 3, he said, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? You ever felt that way? How many are saying of me, God will not deliver him? See, there's nothing new. Nothing new. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and you lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud and he answers from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Woo! Glory to God. Arise, O Lord, and deliver me, O God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Uh-oh. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be upon your people. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Listen, your enemies come against you. When they begin to try to talk to you, when they begin to try to tell you, boy, this is it, you've had it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to do it, this time's going to be the time, boy, this is it, I've got you, you remember, hey, God has bound himself to me in covenant.
Yes, yes, he has. Thank
you. You anoint my head with oil. Hallelujah. You are anointed. That means you're set apart. You're set apart. When in the Old Testament, when God called Aaron and the Levites, and especially Aaron's and his sons, to set them apart in the high priesthood there, they anointed them with oil. It was a holy anointing oil. And it was so special, God says, if anybody duplicates it, they will die. Kill them. Hello? I mean, yeah, God's loving, but he's got his other side too. So you're anointed with oil. My cup overflows. How many of you know what do you think that expression means? My cup overflows. You got it. That's right. I think you could go anywhere. I think even people weren't saved, they'd know what that means. Say, man, my cup overflows. What does that mean? Abundance. 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 What does a covenant mean? Abundance. God will supply all my needs. He will. Surely. Everybody say surely.
Surely.
Say it one more time.
Surely.
Don't you like the sound of that word? Surely. Man, there's a no-so about that. There's a confidence in that. Surely. Especially when it's coming out of God's mouth. Surely goodness and mercy, love, will follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because you did everything just right. No, because of what? Covenant. Covenant. All the days. Say all the days. That means from right now to the last one. All the days. So instead of dreading, we should be expecting. Expecting what? Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Man, you get up in the morning. Man, I'm telling you, you get ready to go to work. Goodness and mercy. Get in the car with you. Hallelujah. I don't know. That may be two angels named Goodness and Mercy. I don't know. But wherever you go, he said, goodness and mercy are following you. Man, you go in there and say, please God, goodness and mercy are with me today. Goodness and mercy are with me wherever I go. He said, surely, goodness. Why? Because of the covenant. Surely, goodness and mercy are following me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when old sour puss at work, old crankpot at work comes in, just remember this. There's one of them, but there's two with me. Goodness and mercy. Oh, it's goodness and mercy. Hey, man. When old slop bucket gets to talking, just remember, goodness and mercy. I've been on the job with some of y'all, haven't I? And I will dwell in the house, the presence of the Lord forever. Covenant. Covenant. Listen. Jesus said at Calvary, it is finished. Well, if it's finished, that means there's nothing else to do to it. Isn't that right? It's perfect. It's a perfect covenant provided by a loving, perfect God with a loving and perfect sacrifice, Jesus, the Lamb without spot and without blemish. And so this morning, we need to remember, call to remembrance as we prepare for the Lord's table. We're in covenant. This is more than just some wafer and some juice. Listen, see beyond the symbols. See the power of God. See the love and hand of God. See the blood that went down Calvary. See the body that was pierced for you and I. And remember, God has committed Himself to you, and He will not take it back. That's covenant. A contract can be broken. They're broken every day, aren't they? Oh, we got an ironclad contract. Well, that's an oxymoron. No such thing as an ironclad contract. Pardon me. But covenant is forever. Covenant is forever. I'd like for our elders to come and prepare. We're going to serve and amend. We're going to serve our communion together. And by doing this, we're going to remember that we're in covenant. And let me remind you too, not only with God, but with one another. I'm in covenant with you. You say, but you don't know me that well, and I don't know you that well. Doesn't matter. Through covenant, we ought to get to know one another. Isn't that right? Amen. We fellowship with one another. We get to know one another. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. The Bible says, in covenant, he said, laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. Be happy with those who are happy and mourn with those who mourn. What's that? That's covenant. I'm there for you. I'm there for you. You're there for me. And there's nothing you can do that'll change it. I have a dear, dear friend. See, I have a dear, dear friend. They pastor out in Palm Springs, California. Boy, I feel a call to go out and see them. No? But, he used to say this all the time. He said, I'm going to love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Right. Isn't that good? Amen. What if we just decided, and God's already said that, hadn't he? He said, I'm going to love you unconditionally, and there's nothing you can do about it. What if we just entered into that covenant, and we said, we're going to do the same thing. There's nothing you can do to keep me from loving you. Nothing you can do. I don't care. Act up if you want to. Have a hissy fit. I'm still going to love you. Y'all know what a hissy fit is? Or do we need to? I know if I got so southern on you there. Need a translation. Just pitch a fit. Whatever. It doesn't matter what. If we have a, if we have a misunderstanding, you know what? I'm still going to love you. Amen. You ever been misunderstood? You ever misunderstood somebody else? Well, there you are. It's going to happen, isn't it? But listen, love's bigger. The covenant is greater. Amen. Men, would you come forward? Here at Grace, we want to invite every believer. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are welcome. We invite you to participate in the Lord's table, the covenant meal, because you are in covenant. And what I'd ask you to do, the men are going to serve you. And we'd ask for everyone, hold the elements just for a few minutes. We're going to pray over each of the elements, and we'll partake of this covenant meal together. Men, would you serve?